You're back with Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Starting this weekend, about 1,000 African-American skiers will gather in Snowmass. They'll mark the 40th anniversary of the National Brotherhood of Skiers. The NBS started in the early 1970s to connect black skiers in a sport dominated by whites. Snowmass is a fitting spot for the anniversary. The very first gathering took place not far away in Aspen. Now, don't let the word brotherhood fool you. Women are part of this too, like Vicky Young of Kansas City, Missouri, who joined in 1989.
My very first summit was in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. And I can tell you at that time, I swore I'd never miss another one, and I have not. I've made some wonderful friends throughout the years I've been skiing and attending the summits. But it's also skiing with a purpose.
And that purpose is?
To identify, develop, and support athletes of color who will win international and Olympic winter sports competition and to increase participation in winter sports. We are making strides with our youth. They have made it to developmental teams on the USSA ski team, not quite on the competition team yet, but we have great hopes that they will get there. And so we try to support that Olympic scholarship fund through our registrations.
Once the week-long festivities wrap up in Snowmass, Vicky Young and fellow members will head home and keep chiseling away at a 40-year-old challenge, how to get more black people to ski.
I will meet people in my church or whatever and say that I'm going skiing this weekend. And they say, oh, really? You know, when you're looking at skiing on television and all the competition, you're not seeing African Americans.
Across the country, the National Brotherhood of Skiers has 60 clubs and about 3,000 members. The Denver chapter, one of the oldest, is called the Slippers and Sliders. Charles Smith is a historian for the club and a former president. He remembers the first time he went skiing in about 1968.
When I was 25 years old, I think that's how many years ago. Really didn't know what to expect, just had an idea it was going to be real cold.
And you took to it on the first try, or what?
Pretty much, yeah, even though I got banged up a little bit and falling and getting up all on my own without a lesson.
What was the first place you skied?
Loveland Basin. That's my home base, where I teach now.
You teach skiing at Loveland now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And who are your students for the most part?
Adults mostly. I normally have a higher level skiers.
When you were up on the slopes those many, many years ago, how many other black skiers did you see?
Two, my brother and I. Even though I'd heard that there were several other blacks that did ski.
What was it like to take up a sport that was and, you know, is still is overwhelmingly white?
You know, that really didn't come to mind. Everybody, that's usually the first question I've done several interviews is, why don't black people ski? And I say black people do ski. You know, it's just the masses are white, and it's not something that's very accessible, you know, to most blacks, or kids anyway.
Why not?
Because we don't live in that environment. Even in those days, it was considered to be a little expensive, whereas the other sports, other ball sports anyway, pick up a ball and call some friends and go do it.
How did you get involved in a community of black skiers?
I skied before I ever knew anything about the other clubs or anything until I got the invitation to attend the meeting for Slippers and Sliders.
Slippers and Sliders is the local group.
Yeah.
And how did you get introduced to them?
Actually, this doctor that we played golf with on occasion out at City Park, we would normally, my brother and I, would stop and have breakfast at Colfax and Carr Boulevard. And he saw the ski racks on our car, and he drove over and said, hey, I didn't know that you guys skied. There's a bunch of blacks that's planning to start a ski club, you know, in a few days. I forget which day it was. And we attended that. Had to be at least 20 people or more there that had been skiing on their own, not as an organization. And that's kind of how it started. Kind of later on, we decided to get the youth involved, and that's when we come up with another nonprofit status for the kids, the 501c3. Ski for Kids program is the name of it, and it's absolutely free. Bus transportation, lift tickets, lessons, lunch, and, you know, of course, adult supervision. Free for 4 weeks, and we started out at Keystone, and they subsidized the cost of that. And now we're at Winter Park.
And what kind of kids do you try to reach?
Just don't like to use that terminology, but we consider them underprivileged. You know, skiing is more expensive all the time. But we've been very successful. And we managed to have at least 50 kids every year for the last, it's got to be 30 years or so, 35, you know, close to when we first started.
But I understand that membership in the Slippers and Sliders is declining. Why do you think that is?
At the time, it was new to everybody. And now it's not. People are in ski organizations or just buddies at work, and that's how they get exposed to it rather than, you know, another black friend.
Is it possible this is about mainstreaming? In other words, they don't feel that they have to be a part of that.
Right. We're at a point now where the parents have been exposed to it, and the younger kids, they don't even think about it. It's just something else to do on the weekend. And that was really one of our goals.
What has it meant to you to be a part of the National Brotherhood of Skiers?
It's been my life.
Are you tearing up a little bit here?
You know, I'm a little sensitive. Probably mainly because I've been involved since day one, actively involved.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Appreciate it.
Charles Smith there will celebrate the 40th anniversary of the National Brotherhood of Skiers this weekend in Snowmass.